Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids.
Welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Corey Young Klaus, and I am in the middle of a practice week, which is here in Columbus, Ohio. And she's traveled all the way from South Carolina to, you know, basically spend a week with us. And I thought it was a perfect opportunity to sit down with her. She's a pretty influential person in our community. I mean, she's a hard worker in the yoga room and on our private Facebook groups and stuff like that. And so I thought it would be awesome to have her on the show because I want to hear her story. And so welcome to the Heartbreak Kids, Corey.
Thanks, Taylor.
So let's just kind of get into it. You know, tell us a little bit about you and, like, you know, how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Sure. So how I ended up doing Ashtanga yoga today?
Well, let's talk about, like, let's first talk about, like, your history. Like, let's talk a little bit about, like, where you're from, where you grew up, and kind of the kid you were when you were, you know, maybe in high school or something.
Okay. So I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina, which is where I currently live. And in high school.
Why? There's resistance to talking about this?
I don't know. Let's see. I'm not sure how to unpack it all. I mean, I came from a great family. I have a wonderful mom and dad. I have two younger sisters.
How old are they?
One's 5 years younger, so 25, and one's 3 years younger, so 27.
Okay.
So, yeah, they all live in Columbia right now as well. And when I started high school, my parents sent me to my sisters started sending us to a private school at that time.
Why did they send you to a private school?
I think because they could. When my dad's dad passed away and he left them, this is me speculating strongly. They're like, well, we want to make sure they make it to college. So instead of saving that money for college, which they didn't, let's just send them to private school now. For me, it ended up being ninth grade. So I started there in ninth grade. But I mean, I liked it because it was really laid back and I was kind of a loner, but I was given the freedom to do that. So I didn't get in trouble.
Was it like a Montessori school or something?
No, it was a private Christian school.
Okay.
So it was very much a private Christian school. So, like, I had like an ethics class and Bible class, but, like, I mean, I was able to kind of push the envelope in ways that others couldn't, I think.
Tell me.
Just,
what do you mean?
I think my teachers always knew that I never had bad intentions.
Okay.
Because, again, I was kind of a loner. I could, and I think they saw that I cared, and but I would kind of do what I wanted to do just enough without getting in trouble. So I was driving up here thinking about, this is kind of strange to me, and this was before I really had any experience with addiction personally. I think I was in 12th grade. We had an assignment in a sociology class, and I kind of argued with the teacher on this because for some reason I chose to write or study Augustine Burroughs. No one around me influenced this. I was just really intrigued by it, and it was a memoir that he wrote. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of his work really since then, but I read one, it was his first or second one, Dry, and the teacher gave me like a D on it, and I think because it made him so uncomfortable. And I argued with him. I was like, no, like, this
I'm
is
not sure
important.
Which one I've read, but I can tell you it was a pretty graphic story.
And so again, I went to a very conservative private Christian school.
That's why you got the D.
And then in another class, I wrote, it was like an ethics class of some sort. I don't know if you know who the artist Elliot Smith is.
No.
So music is a very big part of my life as well. And I played, like, basically all I wanted to do was play music when I was in high school. And so Elliot Smith was a songwriter, and he wrote a CD that people speculated afterwards was possibly like suicide letters.
Okay.
So it was really heavy. So again, yeah. Everyone around me is focused on other things, and Corey's writing about Augustine Burroughs and Elliot Smith.
They're doing book reports on Jesus and stuff, and you're talking about.
Yeah, or they're just trying to figure out how to get in trouble like most kids my age should be, which would be out like, you know.
Partying and drinking and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what other kids were doing, and I'm just like absorbed in like, how did this man decide to like end his life, and how the other one decided that Starbucks could save his, which is the end of the book. And so I was just already in a very different headspace come high school.
So, well, first of all, I got to ask, what instrument did you play?
The guitar.
Okay. You still play?
Not as much. And it's because, which makes this so hard, it's hard for me to talk about myself.
Okay.
So, I would write
all... You talk about yourself to play
I felt
guitar?
Like I did. Well, I kind of stopped once I got pregnant with my daughter because I'm with Madeline, who's 11, so I was 18.
Yeah.
So I got really self-conscious that people would be trying to interpret all my lyrics because people, I already sensed like people close to me or maybe I didn't consider friends, but people like looking on the outside in were like, what is this girl doing with her life? Like, why? How does she get pregnant so young? And like, who is this, you know, my husband, who is she with? So I didn't want to write anything because I didn't want people to like try to interpret my lyrics.
Yeah.
I didn't want people getting in my head. And
You didn't want to feel judged or something?
Yeah. I mean, I knew what I was, but I just didn't want people like that was my way of externally processing, and I didn't really want to share any of that.
Oh, that's fine. With other people. So you had like selfish reasons for your guitar and for not sharing.
Yeah. So when I was 17, close family friends of my family, they had a recording studio. So they let me record a CD. So I'd actually recorded a CD. If anyone wants a copy, there might be some buried somewhere. but I gave a copy to my husband and my phone number, and there we are.
Okay. And how young did you get married?
I was 18.
Okay. And you had a baby right off the rip?
Yeah. So I was like 3 months pregnant with Madeline when we got married. So I had her when I was 19. And
And did you end up going to college?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Well, I did my first semester at the University of South Carolina. And then when I found out I was pregnant with her, I was like, well, maybe I should switch degrees. So I like went to a community school, was going to do a nursing program because I had a really good nursing program. But then after we had Madeline, Spencer joined the Air Force. And so we got moved to Grand Forks, North Dakota. And then I switched to the University of North Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah. And
is that where you got your degree?
Yeah. I have a degree in social science and a minor in history from University of North Dakota.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And so, I'm really intrigued by you and your like loner thing that you've already said like 3 or 4 times. And so why do you consider yourself, or why are you an introvert?
I don't know why I am.
Well, I mean, why does that show up for you? Just because you like your private time, or?
I don't know. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with how much I'm in my head and maybe it being difficult to relate to other people. I think it'd also be that I noticed, even when I was younger, I would have people that would be drawn to me.
Yeah.
I really don't mean this to sound bad, but sometimes it would be people who were kind of needy or people who were in like, maybe they didn't have as good of like a home life as I did, or they had struggles. And so it would be draining on me, but I didn't exactly have people. I had a few, but I didn't have a lot of people that like, it was mutual.
Yeah.
Like friendship.
Got it.
I had a few. And then sometimes it would be like people older than me. Again, like where I was in my head is like even like a 17-year-old would be maybe where like people I knew who were like 20 were. So I often like in high school I was more friends with people who were already in college at that time. And then same when I was like in ninth grade, like
older. You like your private time though?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I need it.
So why are you in your head all the time?
It just doesn't stop. I don't know.
It doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
It keeps going. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about like how you, you know, figured out that yoga was for you? You know, like, how did you make that transition to, like, you know, Christian, you know, school all the way to Corey's practicing yoga?
Right.
How were you introduced to it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was actually in middle school and I did a dance intensive that the school district put on. And so I did it two summers. I don't remember which summer it was, but I remember them introducing us to sun salutations. I think some of the
so you're like, young.
I was really young, but it resonated with me immediately. And that's really all I remember. I just remember something about sun salutations. And I think it was at a college. There's just some of the college students were like, hey, like, this is yoga. This is something that can help dancers. So,
and you're a dancer?
Right. Yeah, okay. I did. Yeah. So I grew up doing dance and I loved the way that dance allowed what was in my head to be translated into my body.
Yeah.
So I really loved that. And I had an amazing dance, or at least ballet teacher. But I wasn't, I would consider not like maybe emotionally or mentally strong enough at that time
to handle it.
Yeah. Like my dance teacher, Miss Deborah, like is her name. So I did company as well. So it was like competitive and I hated the competitiveness, and I don't think she liked that either, but she was phenomenal. But she would, with like some dancers, she would like even put like a cigarette lighter underneath your leg. I probably only ever got like a nail pinch,
okay,
you know? So it's like, she couldn't yell at me. And so I guess I just, because she didn't want to make me cry. Whereas with other people, she would throw shoes at them, no worry. Like, and so it almost caused me to retreat a little bit, because like I wasn't pushed because she didn't want to make me cry probably. But
you needed it, you felt?
Maybe. Like, I just don't know if I could have handled it.
You wanted
then.
To get burned by the lighter?
Maybe. No, I didn't like the competitiveness in it. But now what I've learned through Ashtanga yoga, I've realized like, wow, like dance, you know, you've got to be mentally strong. And if I had a little more confidence, I probably wouldn't have cared.
And you felt like you lacked confidence at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Were you good?
I was decent.
Okay.
I wasn't great. But I mean, my dance teacher, like she would tell you, like it's more about like hard work than natural ability. So I heard that. It's just implementing it was hard, especially if I was like, I don't know if this ever shows up in the yoga room. She would give me a correction and I would think about that correction for so much that I couldn't go into the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you got to be able to take the correction and keep going forward. I would just like freeze.
That does happen in yoga.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, this one thing that you said to me, like totally threw me off all day. Or
I mean,
you
know, I'm sure I do it in my practice sometimes. And it's like, okay, like take that correction, but next pose.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to do that. So
Back then.
Yes. It's still struggle now. But I realize that now, like I can look back and be like, oh, that's what was going on.
And it's funny too, because I mean, I have been pretty straightforward with you, but I don't really get too mad at you in the yoga room.
No.
I mean, I do push you though.
You do. Yeah. You do enough. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, it's my natural gift to the world.
Which I like.
Yeah. So tell me, so you did these sun salutations at home.
Well, that was at the camp.
Or I'm sorry, at the camp. Yeah, my bad. And then you did them at the camp, and then you immediately went to 6 days a week practice?
Nope.
Tell me how that all kind of went down.
I was either 16 or 17. I was like, I can't do the dance thing anymore. It was just too much. So my parents were like, okay, we'll give you so much money. It can either go towards dance or whatever you want. Like if you're going to the movies with your friends, fine. But like this is all you've got. So you've got to use it how you can.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And I don't want to do dance anymore. I want a gym membership so that I can do yoga. So, I mean, I would go to the gym as well, but I think it was like a hatha yoga class. And I don't even remember the teacher's name, but she was wonderful. I loved that she just seemed really like calm, and there was like this sense of humility about her that I love, because so much of the dance is like the opposite of humility.
Yeah, of course. It's
because I didn't want to like it matter what I looked like. I liked that dance allowed me to be in my body and connecting like physically everything that was feeling emotionally, but I didn't want to have to be on display for others to like you know.
That's the best part about yoga is you don't have to be on display.
Well,
unless you're ever going to teach workshops.
I don't know. I
like
think it
me.
Depends on who your teacher is. Definitely don't feel that way with you. But she like didn't even like do a lot of demonstrations. I think I remember something about her just coming back from like cancer chemo treatment or whatever.
Really?
So she was coming back. If there was something that was, she felt like we needed a demonstration, but she couldn't do, she would have another student demonstrate it. And so things like that, I was like, wow, like she really doesn't care if we think she's amazing or not. Like she's just here to share the gift of yoga. And she
right.
talked about breath and how we don't ever fill up our lungs as much as we can. So because it was hatha and not like a vinyasa flow, it was just very calm.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
You got
it
what you needed out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this one moment, if my life was like a story, I think it'd be foreshadowing because this is crazy to me, but I was in like a downward dog position and I looked up back behind me and my now husband, who we were like, didn't go to the same school or anything, but like I knew who he was.
Yeah.
He was like running on the track upstairs. So I saw him. So like in the beginning, like yoga is important. And then here's this boy.
You're right. Running around above you.
He's running around above me. Yeah. Yeah. And it was probably like 6 months later that we like
got together or whatever.
Well, yeah, I gave him my CD. Yeah. But it's just like, hey, that happened.
And he obviously dug the CD.
He did. Yeah.
A lot.
I don't know if he liked a lot. I think he did play it one time for our girls just so they could get a laugh out of it, but yeah. So then I did that class and it was maybe like, I don't know, twice a week or something, but
you got and this was just at a local gym.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And tell me what you experienced during those like first few yoga classes that you took. I mean, did it like, you just like being in your body, but how did you,
yeah, I remember feeling grounded. I remember being like in a warrior two pose and even going home and telling my mom, I was like, wow, like I feel strong and like capable. And it just felt like a peace that I hadn't felt doing other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it put together a puzzle that
it really did.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, that's a similar experience to what I think many people have. Or it's like, I've never experienced this before.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some sort of peace and calm and it just feels like perspective change for sure.
Right.
So
it was something I really needed.
Yeah.
Because I need to feel that grounding because I can be so heady. Like I need something to kind of pull me back down. And it did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about how you came to Ashtanga yoga.
So I feel like I had to circle around the world a few more times. But
yeah, but how many times, I mean, or how many years did you just practice like that kind of class?
I only got to do that for maybe like a year because then when I went to college, I lost that.
Yeah.
But like I always wanted it. So
did you do it by yourself ever?
No.
No? You needed the class setting or whatever?
I don't think I realized that wasn't even an option.
Okay.
Like I heard like some people do this at home, but like I like do what?
It's so hard,
it
right?
Was, yeah. It just seemed kind of like a foreign thing.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't sure. So
well, specifically that style too. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's like specifically like that style. It's like they don't really teach the same sequence. They have different focuses each class and
right.
stuff like that. Yeah. So it just
right.
kind of throws it off. Like how am I supposed to do this at home? It's impossible.
Yeah, I definitely hadn't heard of Ashtanga.
Yeah.
Like. Not at all.
So how did you come to it?
So, well, I had a little bit more experience with yoga before Ashtanga. When we moved to North Dakota, I remember still being intrigued by yoga and even like looking up yoga studios back home in Columbia thinking like maybe somehow I can get into this again. So it was like always pulling at me. Like it was strong. Like it was something I wanted to do really bad. And I was like, I wanted to do it so much that I wish there was a way I could share it with other people. So we finally were able to live on the base because we couldn't live there first. I got certified to teach like fitness classes. There was no yoga. Obviously, you'd have to be like a yoga instructor and that wasn't an option. But I got certified to teach Pilates and I remember looking up YouTube videos and always trying to fit like downward dogs and things.
Into your Pilates mix?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So it was like still like pulling at me. Like I really wanted to like, and that got me to like see YouTube, but still hadn't found Ashtanga at that point. And then we moved to Mississippi, which was like a hellhole for us and everything was starting to fall apart. And then we moved back to Columbia and, And let's see. So life got really messy for a while.
In what way?
Well, because Spencer, my husband, he was like, had his addiction issues with alcohol. So I guess when everything finally kind of came to a forefront there, I knew like I needed yoga.
Yeah.
So I think it was like the day he finally left for treatment, I was like, I've got to find a yoga studio. Like I just knew like he's going to get his treatment. And I think I just didn't want to pay money to go to a studio.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because you were being cheap or because it just.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of money.
Didn't have the money.
Like, I mean, the job I had like paid like $800 a month. Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah. And yeah.
I mean, like, yoga's expensive.
Yeah. Like how am I going to like pay for food and gas and yeah.
And my husband's struggling and all that stuff.
Right.
I totally get it.
Like.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to go to a class. So I went to a class, and it definitely wasn't Ashtanga, but it's still, like, for where I was in that season of life, I was just thankful to be in a yoga class. And it wasn't a very long treatment program. It was, like, 2.5 months. But I was just so desperate to have our family back together. I was like, okay, let's just try to move back in together and make this work. And there was a yoga studio down the street from our apartment. And they had an Ashtanga class.
Oh, nice.
So everything was still very new when I found Ashtanga. Like, I was like, you know, as far as like us rebuilding our family structure. And,
right.
And also, there was very few people in my life that even knew what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
So
because you stayed private about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, based on the other stuff that you said, that seems about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't really.
Par for the course.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't like talking about it, but there was an Ashtanga class, and it was like an abridged lead half primary maybe. And that teacher's name was Marcia, and I adored her right away. But I remember like having a pushback the first time I went, after a few times going to the class. I'm not sure what it was, but it was almost like going to the yoga for athletes class that meant like 15 minutes later was easier to go to.
Right.
But I kept wanting to go to it, and she would talk about the breath again a lot as well. And she would talk about the other things apart from the yoga postures. And I appreciated that, like her focusing on, oh, there's yoga is more than just the physical poses.
Right.
Like she introduced me to that. Like I knew that because obviously something was drawing me to yoga.
Of course.
Besides
yeah.
the physical aspect, or else I would have just stayed at the gym, because I definitely had a season where I was just going to the gym and working out every night. But I didn't like that because no matter how hard I tried, it would like still focus on my physical body or what I looked like. And
sort of like dance then.
Yeah, basically. It was.
Yeah.
It was more of like, well, what do you look like? Like, how is your body changing or improving? And I didn't, for me, it's just, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think some people, like it has to, it's hard for me to keep that relationship healthy. If it gets too focused on physical appearance, then it's just, I start to get in a bad headspace.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the revelations that I had too. It was just like, oh yeah, there's, you know, not everything has to be perfect, or not everything has to be about form. Like, of course it matters, like keeping yourself safe, but there's also this like psychological thing that is happening in yoga that is super deep, like getting connected to yourself and calming the mind and focused on your breath. All of that stuff is like, man, it's super important.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally into that too. Yeah.
And so she introduced me to that, and I was like, wow, this is great. And so again, like I'm trying to kind of rebuild my life, and I needed something to help me rebuild it. And so it came in at the perfect timing. Unfortunately, it faded away. I got the yoga studio, though, I did do a teacher training through that studio quickly after that. But during the midst of the teacher training, that class got taken off the schedule.
Oh, the one class.
Yeah. So I finished the teacher training all the same. And I remember the teacher, one of them saying like, well, you're not going to like leave here and just go start teaching Ashtanga. Like no one's going to take that. But I was really interested in Ashtanga yoga. I was like, okay. Like,
how long ago was this, by the way?
Shortly before I met you. I'm trying to remember when I like finished my yoga teacher training. Cause like after I finished that yoga teacher training, I realized they said in that training, like, it's really important that you have a teacher. And I realized, okay, well, the person leading this training is not my teacher. Like it became very clear to me, like this, that is, they just were going through, I just don't think they had finished recovering themselves perhaps.
Right.
In their life. And there was times in those trainings or in those classes where I still kind of felt like I was put on display. Like there were times where that teacher or teachers would be like, okay, Corey, go into Kapotasana, which is bizarre to me now because like I didn't like,
it's so hard,
that comes into like second series. So I like barely warmed up, like, well, Corey's back looks kind of bendable. Let's like
see if we, she can get into the shape.
Yeah. It's just, I didn't, so it just made me kind of feel like,
you were,
I was like a
zoo
bendy
animal.
Doll. Yeah, I didn't like it. And I don't consider myself that flexible, and it wasn't that easy. And
right.
I don't know. So anyway.
There's a bunch of things you didn't like about it.
There was. So after I finished the training, I was, and also like at that time I was cleaning the studio to pay to go to classes. So that was great. But it got to the point where like I didn't have time to clean the studio and even go to class. So it's like,
why even do that?
Right.
Yeah.
And the Ashtanga class isn't on the schedule anymore.
There's only one, by the way. It was only one.
There was only one.
Man. That's a disservice.
Yeah, there was only one. And that class wasn't on the schedule anymore. So I was like, okay. Well, time to move on. So I just started looking up Ashtanga yoga. I would just like watch Ashtanga yoga YouTube videos like all the time.
I feel like that's how everyone starts. Like, you know, they see Kino or they see some video and then they kind of dive down the rabbit hole of, you know, everything that is on YouTube. And there's a bunch of great information and stuff too, but it's like.
At this time, I still didn't know what a home practice really was. Like in our teacher training, they said like, hey, go home and like, do 5 sun salutations every day or do 10 minutes of meditation. But as far as like a home practice, that's all that was really taught. So that was still like a foreign concept to me. Like a few times, like I remember like trying to like work my way through what I remembered of the Ashtanga sequence because I was like, well, it's that sequence. So I should be able to do it at home. Just do what I remember.
Right.
And I had like a little paper that Marcia had given me. So I was like, okay, I'll just look on this paper. But I was like ready to find a teacher.
Yeah.
So.
That's when you showed up?
That's when I showed up in Charlotte. Yeah. But I showed up to your talk the first time too.
Yeah.
Your talk the first night. Yeah. That made me cry.
Yeah. It made everyone cry, I think. There's a lot of people there too.
There was, yeah.
There's maybe 50 people there or whatever. Yeah, that was a good one. That whole workshop was awesome. But so, you know, I mean, part of the reason why I asked you on the show is because, you know, like I know a lot of the stuff that you've told me, like I can tell that, you know, obviously it's more about asana and like there's a certain like depth to it. And some people I feel like are natural yogis. And I think like you are kind of a natural yogi, like you're drawn to something deeper than, you know, maybe, you know, other people or whatever. And so I'm wondering, like, you know, with your practice, like you showed up in Charlotte, I mean, like you almost immediately stuck to a 6 day a week, you know, or like a committed practice. I guess I don't know if it's actually 6 days a week, but, you know, and you like kind of fell in really fast and dived in the deep end. I mean, I've seen you a lot of times, like, you know, traveling around and, you know, like now you've come to Columbus, you were at the Trinity Foundation, you know, forum and stuff. Yeah. And so what's this connection? Like, why does it matter so much to you?
Yeah, I mean, because it really is very spiritual. And so I think something did happen when I was like 11.
What are you getting connected with, though?
I mean, I have a part of me feels like I can't say it's strong, but I have like a very sincere, like important, like Christian faith as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, I literally feel like God was like, okay, this is your gift. Like, this is
I'm what
giving,
you need.
This is what you need. Yeah. And so sometimes I am like on my mat. I'm like, why the hell do I have to do this? Like, other people don't have to do this to like
they
function.
They can just pray.
They can just wake up and drink their coffee. And for some reason, I need it in a way. I feel like, I know you've said that can be kind of a dangerous term to use. Maybe you didn't say dangerous, but saying I need something sounds like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I need it, I guess. I mean, I also want it.
But yeah, I
also
want it
do
too.
It too.
I think I struggle with follow through, or I'm always looking for the next thing. in life, I think.
The next pose?
Not the next pose.
Oh, you don't want the next pose. You just want the next thing in life.
Yeah, we're okay. Like where we are with that. But considering I've been married for like 12 years and my Shangha practice is like, that's all I can commit to. Like everything else, like I cannot commit to anything else to save me. Like I sounds terrible and I don't know why I'm admitting this, but like my work history, like, and it's not really just been because of me, because it's been of life situations mostly, but like I've not worked anywhere really more than, I don't think I've worked anywhere a whole year. Like
ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like
you have a job now?
I do.
Okay. And have you had it for a year?
I'm counting down the days.
So that you can, so you feel like I don't want to do that anymore?
I just,
why don't you commit to things?
It just doesn't feel satisfying. I just,
why don't you do something that is satisfying?
I think, and that's what's strange is because, like, I remember sitting on the couch in our apartment in Grand Forks, North Dakota, like, Googling, like, yoga teacher trainings. Like, I get hung up with wanting to feel fulfilled and, like, what I'm doing matters.
Yeah.
And doing something that feels validating and worthwhile. And I know people joke about a lot of people or maybe people in, I don't know, our age group having that those issues, but
yeah.
Just working 9 to 6
9 to 5
for someone else. It's not even 9 to 5, it's 9 to 6. Maybe 9 to 5 would be okay.
You can't handle it.
It's rough.
Because you don't feel appreciated?
I just don't feel, it's not even appreciated, it's like this validation that what I'm doing matters.
Okay. Does the yoga matter?
Yeah.
So why don't you teach it?
Well, because I have to buy groceries. Because my kids eat a lot.
And you don't think you can make money at teaching yoga?
No.
You sure that just doesn't even have a shift in, you know, the perspective? Or you don't want to make money at it because it means so much to you that it's...
That's a lot of it, too. Because where I was like, the place I saw was like a nice studio. And I was... I've just seen some really shady like yoga business practices,
yeah.
Which I mean happen. Like we're like,
of course,
I mean
they're
on.
Normal people, and you know,
and people have to buy their groceries. So I almost like don't want to be associated. I wish I could just give it for free. And part of me like
but
lacks
you need
my
groceries
ability
too,
right?
This is interesting because you know, like I've never had this conversation with anyone on the Heartbreak Kids because you know, like there's like as a teacher looking at a student. Like you have this natural ability to kind of fall into like these like deep realms of what I feel like is yoga. You're a very kind person, like you're thoughtful, you know, like your practice is deep and focused and, you know, it's advanced, not super advanced. Like you can also tell that you don't really care about the form, you know, like you on a certain level. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not saying that as disrespectful, but you know, there's like this weave of or thread through it that it's like, yeah, this matters so much to you that like almost like you couldn't accept money for it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly. Very interesting.
Just exchange
but
rights.
Also like the person who has that gift is maybe the person that should be sharing that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is an interesting paradox almost, mm-hmm. You know? Because also you got to provide for your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. And that makes the whole working thing hard as well. Like I love my family. They've always been like my number one priority. And then yoga was like, and then I think yoga was like, okay, like I have to have something that is for me in my life that sustains me so that I can
keep giving to your family.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested, does your yoga connect or make you feel like you're connected to your higher power, your God?
Yeah. Because because in some way I really do feel like it's a gift that he's given me.
Okay.
Because it's so hard to explain. Like literally, I feel like yoga is called to me from such a young age, which is kind of bizarre considering where I grew up, or you know, like
South Carolina, or the South.
Shangha does not exist.
Right.
Yeah, and both of my parents, like they're really cool people. They are, but I don't think they're too offended by my. I don't want to say wild side or rebellious side. My mom always jokes I'm the most rebellious, even though I don't come across that way. just, I feel like they are two people who tried really hard to be conservative.
Right.
But like if they were kind of stripped of all of maybe worldly expectations on them and they were completely true themselves and knew that others weren't judging their external, like what they're presenting to the world, that they would not maybe be so straight-laced.
Yeah. And they're pretty straight-laced.
They do a good job blending in.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. My dad would be like my parents, both are like really like drawn to yoga now. Like they're really, really? Open, receptive to
it. Are they doing it?
They both have Manduka mats, so
wow,
that's pretty cool.
This is serious. Yeah. You gotta get a Manduka mat. Yeah. Did you buy it for them?
No.
They bought it themselves? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, they're yogis now. What color do they have?
Gray.
Oh, man. So they're at the top level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you get a black Manduka mat, you're like a black belt karate, you know, black belt yoga person.
Actually, I tell people Ashtanga is more like karate than other yoga, and Colombia at least, because I don't want to be associated with like the vinyasa studio.
Yeah. Why? Because you just disagree with it or something?
Yeah, like that wild dog thing where you like open your knee, like it just...
We're doing that tomorrow.
Are we?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So why do you practice today?
Why do I practice today?
I mean, why?
Today, like, why did I show up?
No. Why? What's the big why that keeps you going? When you're having the roughest of the rough days, like what's the thing that keeps you going?
Because it validates something inside of me that's not validated elsewhere, you know, at work. And it's hard to... You know, you can't look to like relationships to validate you because, I mean, obviously, like people are just people going through their own stuff.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, yoga, I find that validation. I mean, I can still get in my head, of course, and I do that a lot with like getting mad at myself or talking down to myself or beating myself up. I'll for sure do that. But in Ashtanga yoga, there's another pose to go on to.
Right.
And like it keeps me moving forward. So in other areas of my life where I'm like dragging my feet or not feeling validated, I don't feel strong enough, I don't feel good enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's your big why. Validation.
Yeah.
And moving forward. Mm-hmm. Connecting.
And it's not like I feel like validated when I get like a new pose. It's really just like...
No, I don't think that came across. Yeah, it's not
it's
that.
It's just...
There's just a deep resonance with, like, you know, what I'm doing is, like, sacred and for me.
It really is. It's really sacred. And it's strange to, like, explain it to other people who, I think other Ashtangis get it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other people who practice other types of yoga, like that lady who first introduced me. I don't remember her name, but, so like, there's something about her that resonated with me, and so I'm sure she sensed it. Like, she knew that yoga is more than just the physical postures,
yeah,
which is why she was okay not, like, showing off to us. She was there to share with us because she knew it would help us. And and it did.
She was a yogi.
She was.
Yeah.
In Columbia, South Carolina, at New Life Fitness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so tell me about, like, your, you know, your journey through, like, the struggles of your practice. Like, what keeps you motivated?
Well, definitely having you as a teacher. It's been very helpful.
How do I keep you motivated when you're so far away?
Because I know that you're there. I know that I'll, like, be able to check in with you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that you care and you see me, but that you don't care about what I'm looking like in the pose. You care about what the yoga's doing for me.
Yeah.
And that really comes across, so.
What's it mean to you to have a teacher? You know, because you said that the yoga teacher trainer person wasn't your teacher. Like, what's it mean to you to have a teacher?
I don't think I totally knew at that point, other than I was like, well, clearly, like, this
is not my person.
You know, it's not my person. And so I took your workshop, and then I took another workshop with someone else. And I was like, I think to have a teacher is to have someone who sees you for who you really are. And I didn't have to, like, explain myself to you. I didn't have to be like, hey, my name's Corey. This is where I'm coming from. This is my background. Like, I was able to just show up on my mat, and you saw what you needed to see to help me get where I needed to be going. And
How much has the clarity changed from the first time I, you know, saw you to now?
As far as the teacher-student relationship?
Just like the clarity of like what you're doing and why you're doing it. Like, I mean, because it seems like such a huge journey that you've been on. Yeah. I mean, from the first time I saw you, I mean, that was maybe 4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, roughly.
And so, you know, yeah, I mean, you just seem like a completely like more stable, grounded person.
Oh, good. But it has not been linear. And I remember when you asked me about this podcast, I was like, man, I wish I was farther along in my journey to be sharing this.
Because
I feel like I'm still in the depths of the struggle most days.
Why?
I think in part because of the whole wishing that what I find in my yoga practice, I could find more outside of my yoga practice.
So that's why you have a yoga practice. Yeah. Right?
Right. I mean, I have my family and I have my yoga practice.
And you have a relationship to God.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can you actually ask for? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, not so selfish. It's just like you, I mean, you know, what else is there really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know how important my family is, my sobriety, my yoga, my community of people that are around me. It's like, those are, what else?
Right.
It's like the stuff that we have. It's like, it seems so stupid, right?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like depth, you know? That's just freaking amazing. Because I lacked like depth, or I didn't realize how important my family was to me until I lost it. You know, I didn't realize all that. I didn't realize that, what a connection to a higher power, like what it meant until I actually needed it. You know, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's definitely always been something more for me than the physical practice. And so finding a teacher who knew that and didn't need me to explain that. I think I came, like other people maybe saw me as just like a young female who was semi-flexible and could be decent at yoga and maybe just was confused. But I think you knew that I was coming with a lot more to the story. I don't know.
No, I totally. I mean, I felt like I could feel it a little bit, you know, like there was some sort of connection that I didn't put together until like after the fact. And like when you started talking to me about addiction and like the struggle that you had had and like, you know, what your family was going through and all of that stuff. I mean, I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, like being fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know, like being a role model of sobriety sometimes puts me in that position where it's like, oh, yeah, it's like sobriety is a gift, you know, and I get the opportunity to have these other people come into my life that sometimes need to see that, you know, and other people need to have a healthy relationship with an addict, you know, or someone who's, you know, in recovery or whatever. And so there's something around there that I just felt like, oh yeah, this is like another one of, this is like, you're part of my crew, you know, like I could like almost feel it immediately.
It's been so helpful. Because having like your community or like being around other people where sobriety is important to them, even though I wasn't the one who was drinking, like for anyone else who has been married to someone who's an addict, like my experience, like I know that I will never understand my husband's experience.
Sure. Just like you'll never understand.
And he'll never know what it's like to be like digging through the trash and like smelling water bottles. Like, And you become like, I don't know. It was just like, I don't want to say it's paranoid, like always on guard.
Well, I mean, you care about them, and so you're looking after them, and you're trying to make sure they're okay. And it's hard, you know. Yeah. You're basically, you know, making sure they aren't killing themselves, you know.
Yeah. So I'm still recovering from it, and it's great to be around other people who are in recovery or other people also who, and like a more off the mat thing. Like one thing I love about like when we get together as a community and people like go out for dinner, like it's not like an awkward, like no one's ordering alcohol. Like it's just so like little things like that. Like I really appreciate it. Like it's just,
It's awesome. You know, I think that the biggest thing is that, you know, like you kind of mentioned, like, in a roundabout way, like, the community and the people have, like, kind of filled a need for, like, what you're experiencing. But also, like, in this, you know, other way, I think that you've also filled a need in our community because, like, you know, there you are a deeply spiritual person. And that's, like, and sometimes the people who are after the poses need to have that other person who's just like, oh, yeah, you're like the director of yoga to a certain extent, you know, like in our community, just like because people, you know, think that you're sweet, think that you feel like you're connected. And, you know, it's like, you know, I'm here by God's grace, you know, and, you know, you might not have as drastic of a experience as what I had, but you're here by, like, God's grace.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally divine intervention. I mean, I cannot be just, like, a random coincidence that I happened to the first yoga. What I did is I looked up for there to be, an authorized yoga teacher within, like, a 100-mile radius, and it happened to be you.
At a workshop.
It happened to be you doing a workshop, and then it happened to be someone who had a story about using Ashtanga as a tool for recovery from addiction. And, I mean, I had just, like... Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was just coincidence.
Just coincidence.
Just coincidence.
Yeah.
Nothing bigger at play there.
Because I mean, it is really important to me. Like, yeah. And I mean, even at work, like, I don't talk about my story, but, like, I've made it pretty clear, like, my thoughts on, you know, substance and alcohol and things that could, could be used to help addicts. And I don't know. Again, it doesn't feel very validating because I don't feel like my voice is really heard or anything, but
well, you know, I appreciate you being on the show, and I appreciate you being on here and kind of sharing you know, your introverted ways with us, you know, because it's important, you know, like, for people to have a voice to share, like, what they, you know, what yoga means to them and why they're here and all of that stuff. And so I really appreciate you kind of, like, sharing the depths of what goes on in your head. And I really appreciate you obviously being a part of the community and, you know, being, like, a force for the yoga, you know. So thanks for being on the show, Corey.
Thank you, Taylor.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.